ride. Ladies and gentlemen, freaks and geeks, grab your smokes and take some tokes, because it's time for Fatal Four-Way Radio with your host, Minister Sinister. Brought to you by Bud Backroom. And now, with me today, welcome to Fatal Four Way Radio, by the way. With me today, I have a Batman. How? Thank you. First of all, thank you for gracing us with your presence. And how are you doing, my friend?
Batman? I've been pretty good, man. I think that's what you asked me, because I honestly can't hear a word you're saying.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, brother. I'm good. You know.
Okay, good. I'm glad you can hear me now. We got that issue out of the way. Out of the way. So, how's it going, Batman, man? What have you been up to, dude? We took the week off last week, man. How's everything going for you? I know you're out there saving the world and shit. I think you were working security last week at the Avengers. You were on security detail. Is that right?
Well, let me tell you something, man, Jim. When the Avengers come over here, brother. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, man. Justice was served last week, man. I went to the Infinity Wars. And, oh, I can't wait until number 2 comes out, bro.
Is that right?
Pretty good week, man.
Big
pretty
Avengers
good week.
Fan,
pretty good week. I'm a big Avengers fan. Yeah, I'm a big Marvel guy.
Yeah, cool. Hey, did you get around to checking out? You know, we all had big plans, man. We had big freaking plans for watching the greatest Royal Rumble. There had been talk all freaking week, man, and we were just so hyped about it. Dude, Friday came, and I didn't even watch it Friday. I didn't watch it until Monday. And I kept off of all the fucking internet and shit. I didn't even check my mail or anything because I was not wanting to get anything spoiled. You know what I mean? And so I checked out the Greatest Royal Rumble Monday, and then I went into Raw immediately after that. And of course, we did a show with T-Rock Plutonium Monday Night Fallout. Where we talked all about Monday Night Raw. And you can go back and check that out if anybody listening wants to do that. Just, you know where you're at. Go check it out. But anyway, Greatest Royal Rumble, man. What did you think of it?
It was WrestleMania 2.0. It was pretty long, I'll tell you that. But, I mean, when it hit the 30-man mark on the Royal Rumble, I was like, oh, I even turned to my wife, and I was like, Oh my gosh, she's like, what? And I'm like, it's already 30. Normally it'd be ending by now, but we still got 20 more. I was really excited, man. But I was hoping some other people would come out, but like I was excited with Chris Jericho, other guest stars, Hornswoggle. The matches were freaking awesome, man. I was kind of, you know, saddened that the women weren't able to be a part of it. But in due time, man, they gotta take their steps, you know what I mean? But it was a pretty good
right.
I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was good, you know. It was basically a glorified house show, but nevertheless, I was entertained. You know, I thought it was pretty good. Even though, like I said, I mean, nothing really spectacular happened, but it was still good, man. Anything stand out for you, Batman? Batman? Hello, Batman. We are having transmission problems with Batman, it seems.
Yeah!
Or maybe he can't hear me. Something's going on here. Something is afoot here. I don't know what's going on, but it seems we have lost Batman. I wonder if I'm still on the air. I don't know if I'm on the air or what the hell. We have big time problems here. We'll see. Huh. I've got big time problems here at the studio, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if somebody has broken in or what the hell. But I'm definitely having some big time problems. I've lost transmission with Batman, and I don't even know that I'm on the air. I don't even know that I'm on the air, but I'll just go ahead and resume, I guess. So we had the Greatest Royal Rumble. I didn't watch it until Monday, but I thought it was a decent showing. I guess we'll go ahead and move on to the SmackDown Live breakdown. Still no Batman. I don't know what's going on here. And Joe Bates is also missing. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We will go ahead and take a break, and we'll see if we can get things sorted out. And if not, we'll just resume through, and we'll run it by real quick, and then we will take off from here. So we'll be right back.
Girl, you know it's true.
Okay, kids, let's go.
There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion. Thousands to choose from in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can sell all our spatulas factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to buy name brand spatulas at a fraction of retail cost?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. Buy 9 spatulas, get the 10th one for just 1 penny. Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents. And what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a spatula?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Hello, this is Cy Greenbloom, president of Spatula City. I like their spatula so much, I bought the company.
Spatula City, 7 locations. We're in the yellow pages under spatulas.
My, where did you get that lovely spatula?
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary? You want to see something really scary?
Globally connected, we are the World Generation Podcast Network. Which generation?
Our generation.
Our generation.
The World generation.
Start the week off with a bang in the greatest talk show that will ever be, and that is on Sundays at 9 o'clock Mountain Time, 11 Eastern. Or maybe you like Monday Night Raw. You can watch Monday Night Fallout. That's on right after Raw, 9:30 p.m. Mountain, 11:30 p.m. Eastern on the World Generation Podcast Network. You can listen on Tuesday to Facing Tuesday with the world record tying Mike Santori. That show is on 9 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Eastern Time. There's Thursday, Fatal 4-Way Radio with Minister of Sinister. He's actually on the radio and has his own show, and it's all about SmackDown and Raw and the week and everything. 4 o'clock Mountain, 5 o'clock Central Time. Or Thank You Very Much by Joe Bates. Headliner Joe Bates. That's on Friday. So like us on Facebook, World Generation Podcast Network. Follow us on Twitter. And please stay tuned for more information.
Oh, All right. I think we are on the air. I think we are on the air though. And with me I have and I do have Batman with me, as you know. So anyway, thank you everybody, and I think we have everything worked out now. Just a little technical glitch there. So getting on to SmackDown Live, we had SmackDown was from Quebec, man. They had a freaking Montreal, Canada. They had a this badass audience, man. I thought the audience was freaking killer, both nights, Raw and SmackDown. I'd like to see them go there more often. I mean, those audiences were electric. And, of course, on commentary, we had face fucker Tom Phillips and Byron Sexton and Corey Graves, who's been in the news this week over some comments that he made. Batman, do you know anything about Corey Graves being in the news recently?
No,
apparently he made
some
type of comments that aren't sitting well, and he has heat. Something about women not having rights in Saudi Arabia or some type of crap. I think it'll boil over, man. I mean he's good, and also, you know, I like Corey Graves. He's good at what he does. He is really good at what he does. But you know, at the same time, man, if they freaking replaced him, I wouldn't notice. I mean, I by the time the episode was over, after he'd been replaced, I mean, he'd be all forgotten, man. I mean, what are your thoughts on Corey Graves?
Honestly, man, I kind of feel a little bit different about the, if he was to be gone, he would have missed him. I like the guy, man, and he's right now for this generation the voice. Everybody's always bringing up JR and all that and this and that. You know what? He was great for that time. Right now is now, you know, and Corey Graves right now is doing awesome. Look at everybody else. There's always
a
different rotation. There's always a different rotation, but they have that guy on. They had him on NXT. They have him on Raw. They have him on SmackDown. They got him doing pay-per-views. They obviously believe in the man, and he's really good. And you know what makes him good? He was a wrestler. It sucks that he had to end a little early, but that experience is what makes him good, man. And I honestly would miss him, man, because I'm not too good on Brian and Byron Saxton, and you know, when they rotate from Booker T to this guy to that guy, I like that.
Right. So what about Tom Phillips, man? You got any thoughts on Tom Phillips? I actually like
Who?
Tom Phillips too. I think he does a great job.
Who?
Tom Phillips, the main commentator on SmackDown Live. The guy, he was in a face fucking controversy on Twitter. I think it was sometime last year. Some tweets got let out about him wanting to face fuck his girlfriend or some crazy shit. So the face fucker thing just kind of stuck with him. But he's the main commentator guy on SmackDown. You know, the guy in the middle wearing the suit. But I think he's all right. But hey, moving on, man. Let's move on. So we got those guys on commentary, and man, the show opened up with, of course, they had highlights from the Greatest Royal Rumble. And so they did all that, and then they go to Paige cutting a promo, or not really a promo, but like stating that Nakamura used an undetected low blow in his match against Styles and shit. And so she said that at Backlash they're going to have a no DQ match at Backlash, and we'll get to our predictions later on, but that was Paige's big announcement as SmackDown opened. And then Miz TV starts. So Miz came out with, they were saying, "We want Maryse" in French, apparently. And of course, The Miz was talking about how he took Maryse from Montreal to Hollywood, and he was, you know, shitting on the crowd the way he does. And he also said that Daniel Bryan is officially banned from Miz TV. So we'll see how that plays out. But of course, he went on to address Seth Rollins about the B show, you know, how he's on the B show. Raw is now the B show, according to The Miz. And he also said that Rollins has something he wants. And we all know what that is, man. That's the freaking gold. Seth Rollins has the gold right now. And so he says that Sunday, the fans are going to see an A-freaking-lister as champion at Backlash. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But he introduced Jeff Hardy. And so Jeff Hardy came out and they had this back and forth about, well, first of all, Miz, I thought it was funny when Miz went to give his hand to Jeff Hardy to shake and he pulled it away. He was saying that some shit about the people in Montreal. He would shake his hand, but he just high-fived all the dirty fans in Montreal. Typical Miz shitting on the audience and Jeff Hardy as well. So then Randy Orton came out, and of course the Miz was trying to make a big deal out of Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy interrupting Randy Orton on his way to a match a couple of weeks ago and what have you. And so Orton was like, well, I'm pretty sure no one cares about this top 10 list that Miz has said that Orton was number 9 on the SmackDown top 10 list, and on and on and on, right? And so then it got to where there was a mutual agreement between Hardy and Orton. And the Miz was like, well, what the hell happened to the Viper? He wanted to know where the freaking Viper was, because this is like a different Viper, and he's all calm and chill. But then Shelton Benjamin came out and interrupted. And then, of course, you know, this turned into a match. And, you know, the minute Shelton Benjamin came out, you just had to know that he was going to be there to eat the pin. And that's exactly what happened. Shelton Benjamin took the pin on that. And I thought it was a good match. It was a lengthy match. They had a commercial break in between and what have you. Batman, did you check out this match? What did you take from this match and Miz's promo?
I caught the promo, the match. I got highlights, but Miz is such a heel, man, and I love that guy. I didn't really like him with the real world stuff, but man, he's really earned his stripes, dude. And I think it's Shelton Benjamin's time, man. When he was there, when the first time around, the Golden Standard and all that stuff, man, he should have got some gold a long time ago, man. I think it's time to put the strap back on him for a little bit. You know what I mean? So like I said,
yeah.
All the other guys are made, and so is Shelton, man. He's a made guy too, but I mean, he's got a lot to offer. You know what I mean? And putting a belt on him for him to be able to put over another younger talent. You know what I mean? Kind of get a little bit more prestige on the belt. Hell yeah. I mean, I want him to be there because Randy, Jeff, and I mean, they've all been champions and all that, man. And they've had their time, I think, Shelton, at least for a little bit, you know? So,
right.
I like that segment. I like the segment.
Yeah, I thought it was a good segment. And, you know, Miz had the crowd, man. He had them really fired up, man. I thought, you know,
he
just has a way of working the freaking crowd, man. Like, puppets, man. I mean, they were like a bunch of freaking puppets, and he was the puppet master, man, the puppeteer, if you will. So, I thought it was a great segment. What's that, bro?
I said he had him in the palm of their hands, like always.
He sure did, man. He had him eating right out of the palm of his hand. So, let's see, they went backstage with Renee Young and the Iconics, man, and I think I'm almost sure that a couple of weeks ago when we last made an appearance here in the studio at Fatal 4-Way Radio, that I was saying that I didn't care for these chicks yet. But you know what, man? They're starting to grow on me, man. They're annoying in a way that's, like, really heelish. And, I mean, they're doing great jobs as heels. I can't ever see them being baby faces. They're doing a good job at that, being annoying freaking heels. And so they even kicked out Renee Young from the camera shot. And, of course, they introduced Carmella, and they had a little back and forth there. They were talking about how they were going to be a tag team later in the night. So we had that coming up. And then they went to the bar. And, you know, the bar, man, they had a segment backstage with Kofi Kingston and The New Day. And so they made a match with Tiger Woods that would happen later on. And then they had another interesting segment with Rusev and Aiden English. Yeah, Xavier Woods was going to be in a match. They announced that Xavier Woods would be in a match later on against with the New Day against Sheamus, who would be with Cesaro. So they went on to announce that. But, man, I wanted to point out about Rusev and Aiden English. By the way, if you have any thoughts on the freaking Iconics or anything like that, feel free to just interrupt, man. We're just going all out here, man. We're going all out. We're going full tilt boogie on this shit.
Yeah, with Iconics, man, I actually like them. I listen to a lot of other podcasts wrestling-wise, and Lillian Garcia has her own Chasing Glory, and she actually had both of them on there during WrestleMania week. And now that I know that I believe it was – I think it's Peyton's the one who was – one of them likes the – was – I forgot what I was going to say. She grew up idolizing Eddie Guerrero, and that's one of my heroes, man. And, Yeah, she won me over with that one. So, I mean, I'm excited for them, and they're really shooting for women's tag team championships. So that's something that I would really like to see. I believe TNA or Impact or something like that used to have it, a women's division tag team. So, I mean, that's something if they could push that on, man, that'd be an awesome thing to see because that's different.
Man,
than WWE,
I would
something
love
that's
to
never
see
been
that,
done.
Dude. Yeah, I just brought that up. A couple of nights ago on Monday Night Fallout, I think that's when it was, about how they should have a freaking women's tag team division. No, I think I actually brought that up on Talk Wrestling with Lou, which is Hollywood Tony P's father. I believe that's where I brought it up. Anyway, I did bring it up. Yeah, man, they need a tag team championship right now for the women. I mean, there's so many divas right now, and there's not enough gold for them, or I don't know what you call it, man. There's not enough something for them. Yeah, they need to tote around some gold belts, man. You know, there's not enough. There's only two championships, and they're taken, and that's it. There's way too many women for them to not have a tag team division.
Yeah, and I honestly think they deserve, if they can at least add two more titles, like at least a tag team and maybe like an Intercontinental for the women's too, because not like you said, they not only do they have a stacked roster now, they have a stacked roster that knows how to go. It's not like the eras from before where, I mean, there was Medusa and Bull and I mean there was you know Ivory and Jacqueline and Jazz,
those
women,
man. I mean,
and
they were just doing what they were doing.
You know, yeah, sadly, they couldn't get the time that the girls get now, but that's the point. Now they get the time, take advantage of that, man, and they can go. Perfect example, Royal Rumble, the women's match. To me, the women's Royal Rumble was way better than the men's. And maybe it could be because it was the first one, so of course you're excited. But a lot of times with that comes expectation. And, you know, when you expect something and it doesn't, you know, go through, you're like, ah. So with that, the Women's Royal Rumble, I expected a lot. And, man, they went and over-freaking-sold it. So if they can do that and do, you know, the Elimination Chamber was awesome. And just, I mean, again, they've been killing it, man. So if you can give them a tag team and all that, I mean, it'll be something that you know you're not just investing and you're not going to get nothing back. I mean, imagine not only that, the product stuff that you can make, you know, the dolls and the tag team belts now for girls and the Intercontinental for the girls and merchandising and, I mean, this right to me, it's a perfect time to start, you know, spreading that stuff out. Maybe they are, and they have a really good thing with timing. They know what they're doing, and they're planning it out. They give too much, then what the hell are you going to get later? You know, you can't put all your eggs in the basket because then you're just going to, you know, you run out. So
indeed,
if they do, that would be awesome. You know, that would be indeed. That would be awesome.
Commentary from Batman, the legendary Batman, joining us here in the studio today, Fatal 4-Way Radio. So we worked I wanted to touch on the backstage segment that they had with Rusev and Aiden English. All of a sudden, they were doing a little thing. They did something and where they were talking about something. I don't remember exactly what it was. But then next thing you know, the camera pans over and Lana is there. And so Aiden English takes off, and there was a bunch of Lana chants. You could hear them. And so she was talking about Rusev coming up short against The Undertaker at the Greatest Royal Rumble. And she thinks that something is holding him back. And so then next thing you know, the camera widens out again, and Aiden English comes back saying that he forgot his coat. And Lana was smiling at Rusev, like, you know, saying that Aiden English is what's wrong with Rusev. So there's definitely going to be some heat there between Aiden English and Lana that's probably going to end up with Rusev having to go separate ways from Aiden English to get back to Lana. What are your thoughts on all this, man?
I want to start with this, man. With Rusev, I love the guy. Aiden English. Obviously, what he does is going somewhere because these guys are getting over. So that little gimmick that he has with the singing, opera, drama, theater thing, there's something there. And I think that could be a big thing because with the way the wrestling world is now, man, the simplest things get over. You know what I mean? And look how silly Rusev Day. That dude's over. But going back to where the Rusev thing, it kind of reminded me of like Ryback. Ryback when he not too much, but just as an example, how can I explain this? Like Ryback when he started getting over, I already knew when I was like when that guy came out, he wasn't obviously a fan favorite, but I knew that guy was going to get over because he just had something. And then finally he got over, but then they just let it go stale. And here's the thing with Rusev, he's getting over. That guy's been big since the beginning. But they're just it's getting stale, and I think right now that's why probably why they're splitting it up. Because like, look, I feel like there's a little more there, man, and he's always coming up short, and they got so many people to worry about, and try to give exposure to, and some things work and some things don't. And Rusev, I feel bad for the guy, man. It's over, it's AF, but it's just. Something's not clicking, and I guess it's just time for them to separate. And what's holding them back is the creative. You know what I mean? The WWE creative. I think they're holding because they don't have any ideas, and that's just what's holding them back. Because he's getting over just by doing those little silly things. You know what I mean? With Aiden like English and Rusev Day and stuff. So.
You know, if he's going to turn on Aiden English or what have you, I would definitely like to see him go on a big monster heel type push like he had going on. Remember when he was beating up everybody and making everybody tap out that Machka, that camel clutch or whatever the hell? That's the Rusev I want to see again, man. That's the Rusev I want to see again.
I do too, but not just like that, because that was like a Ryback thing where it was just like squash matches all the time. I want to see him destroy Machka, crash, all that crap. Or not crap, but I mean, all that stuff, but I want to see it more natural. Like he's just a natural beast. You know what I mean? Not flashy like Bobby Lashley beast or gritty like, I see him as a gritty beast. You know, not flashy like a beast like Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley kind of beast. I see him as like, he just shows like a Sheamus. That guy is a gritty guy, you know, beast that goes throwing potatoes, going ham in that ring. That's the Rusev I want to see because that's him. And he can go over with these silly things. He can kind of be like Edge and Christian. People, I think, sometimes forget that those guys, they were comedy. But when it came to the ring, those guys were dirty. They were...
Man, they were great. Those guys were great.
They went at it. You know what I mean? They brought it to the table, and I think that's why the people took them serious, because not only were they, you know, comedy when they needed to be, but they were serious in that ring. I mean, I look at the TLC, they're legends. They're Hall of Famers. I mean, except for Christian, but he's a Hall of Famer in my head. You know what I mean? In my eyes. So that's
right.
I'm kind of going off, but, yeah, I mean, Rusev, I want to see that grittiness. That comedy can still stay there, but Aiden, too. Aiden can still be there, too. I want to see that grittiness
from Rusev, too. Yeah,
and I think
right,
Aiden needs that grittiness too, because that again, same thing with that comedy shtick. He can be comedian, but inside the ring, he could be a dirty, dramatic, you know, thespian kind of guy.
Yeah, I find Aiden English to be very entertaining. He was entertaining
too
when he was in the Vaudevillains, and he's entertaining now. I mean, I think the guy just needs to find the right niche, and I mean, he's got it going on with the singing deal. Definitely has the pipes. So we'll see how they play on with Aiden English as well.
Aiden English, I love the guy, but excuse my language, fuck that guy too, because he's married to Saul Guerrero and that's Eddie Guerrero's daughter, so I'm jealous.
Yeah, personal feelings there from Batman. So Big Cass comes out to the ring with a mic in his hand. Big Cass. And so he's reminding everybody that he's from New York. He's from New York City, no less. And so he goes on to shit on the crowd or what have you. And then he introduces Daniel Bryan. And so it's a freaking midget comes out dressed like Daniel Bryan with doing his yes chant and everything. I mean, the midget actually studied Daniel Bryan. He had his moves down. And so Cass started making a bunch of short jokes using the size jokes. Everything was peppered in with short jokes, midget jokes, what have you. So then the midget started kicking Big Cass. And then he actually, Big Cass went on to introduce the midget with this real name, I guess. He introduced the man. And so the guy started kicking Big Cass. And he was kicking him, but of course the kicks weren't doing anything to Big Cass. He was still talking shit. And then next thing you know, the midget, after he got introduced, was he was pandering to the audience, of course, and the crowd was cheering him and whatnot. But then Big Cass gets this look on his face and just gave him a boot right to the face, man, big freaking boot. And then of course he went on to stand on top of him and shit. And what did you think of this? Did you watch? Was this one of the segments that you watched? And if so, what did you think of it?
I think it was stale. I think it was one of those easy sticks they could do. They want to get Big Cass over, and you know what? I think it was kind of like a setback, man. Because if I believe the week before he did a promo, a really nasty. Was it on the Miz TV? I believe.
Yeah, he did a good promo.
He did a really good promo.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a shoot, if that was a work, if that was a work shoot. I mean, that either way, it was freaking good, and that guy delivered, and that surprised the hell out. Actually, you know what? I take that back. It didn't surprise me because, again, I listened to other podcasts, and when that guy's on, I believe he was in Talk to Jericho with him and Big, I believe with him and Enzo, and another time by himself, and that guy can talk. He's got good vocabulary, you know? He's a talker, man, and that's that. I believe that's why that promo worked. But, again, the thing, taking a step back, it's such an easy thing to just bring a midget out. You know what I mean? It's just one of those. That doesn't really get to me. Unless the midget's a wrestling, hell yeah. But when they're like, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just too easy. I don't know where he's going with this this whole Daniel. And I think it's just maybe it's because of the whole Daniel Bryan storyline. Like, I feel kind of, like, deflated. You know, Daniel Bryan is now back. And maybe that's just me being a mark for Daniel. They should have done this big old thing. He's back, he's returning, and when he returned, it was like not even a big deal, you know, for WrestleMania.
Well, they are facing and squaring up against each other Sunday, and we'll get your predictions. Well, let's go to the chat. One fan is saying that she hopes Lana manages Rusev again, and Yalissa is saying Aiden shouldn't be taken off. And Ambrose, number one fan, is saying that Lana is better paired with Rusev. So there's a little exchange going on in Bud's Back Room. All you have to do is type in Bud's Back in your Google, and because your phone might freeze. But yeah, they're hosting us. They're hosting us today in the chat room. So thank you very much. Also, they're saying Cass is a terrible heel. Is what Ambrose,
terrible,
number
yeah.
one fan, is.
Breaking up a little bit there.
With the promo, but I have to agree with you, Batman. I thought he did fall short, so to speak. Using a short joke like the same that he was doing. Anyway, I'm the only one laughing here.
You need to drink some beer, man. Think it funny again.
Shit.
You're not funny sober.
I had too much last night, dude. Oh my God. We did karaoke till 4 in the freaking morning, man. 4:30, I think it was.
Oh, that's early.
But let's see here. So Shinsuke Nakamura wants an apology from, he's demanding an apology from AJ Styles, and Renee Young introduces AJ Styles, and he got a huge reaction. So they were talking about, playing games and what have you. And I noticed that Styles made some interesting remarks about Nakamura being more interested in other jewels instead of the championship. He's interested in AJ Styles' family jewels was what Styles was referring to there. And so he called Nakamura a coward who attacks him from behind and below the belt. And Styles says that all that changes this Sunday. And he can break the rules if he wants to. And so Renee wants to know about this apology. But then Samoa Joe comes out instead, man. And so we get the big TNA chants coming out, man. I mean, it was massive. The Montreal crowd is just so freaking electric. It's awesome. So Joe,
I love
says
the Montreal crowd.
Man, they are just something else, man. Joe says that Styles is out here so filled with rage and anger that he's lost focus on the dangers around him. And, man, Joe is just so effective. When he cuts a freaking promo, you just believe it. And so he's pretty sure that the match with Styles should be focused on is the one where he proves once again that Roman Reigns is the failure. Oh, my God. And I'm not a hater of Roman Reigns by any means at all. But, man, there was a little bit of truth to able to get Roman Reigns over like they think they want. But anyway, so Joe said that's the same Roman Reigns who failed in Saudi Arabia. And he was fine with the referee decision to award the win for Brock Lesnar. So it was a big deal with Joe. He was saying that Styles needs to make peace with destiny because he's done putting the big dog to sleep. And he's coming to beat Styles down for the WWE Championship. And holy shit, man, I can almost believe every word he freaking says because he's that convincing. But Nakamura's music hit. And Joe turns around to wait for him. And the next thing you know, the camera pans back to AJ Styles and Nakamura is just racking him right in the freaking nuts, man. Low blow
on
and Styles. And Joe is watching
duel
from the top of the stage. What's that?
I said on this episode of Family Duel.
Yeah. And so Nakamura took Styles out with a Kinshasa and grabbed the WWE Championship. And I thought it was a great
What was that?
Segment.
What was that? Say it again. Say it again.
Nakamura, he took Styles out with a Kinshasa.
No. Yeah, throw it again. You got to get a little soundbite for that now.
Kinshasa!
That's a new AJ Styles.
Oh, my God. So I think, I just don't want to see this feud end, man, between Styles and Nakamura. To me, it's barely getting good. But we'll talk about our predictions here in a little while. What, did you watch this segment, man, and what did you think of that?
Yeah, I did watch the segment. I got two things, maybe three, maybe four, maybe five, six, seven, eight M's in my bank account going off. Honestly, man, I'm kind of getting tired of the whole people interfering with the Styles and Nakamura thing. Samoan and Roman do their own thing. Samoan needs to get in a different picture, I think. They're just, I don't know where the hell they're putting it. They just put him into anything now. Roman, here's one thing with Roman, and I'll get to Shinsuke and AJ in a little bit. But with Roman, man, they need to, you know what? When you put on those matches, when you get so physical with Braun and stuff, they need to take advantage of that. Make that guy the beast and the freaking dog that he is, man. And that's why he's not getting over the way they want him to be because, again, force is like another John Cena, obviously, you know, back and forth, heel face, blah, blah, boo, cheers. They got to make him more violent, I think, you know, really take advantage of that violentness because he's a big dog. Let him fucking bite, man. Let him bark. Let him run around. Let him do what he does, you know. Let him be a dog, woof, woof, man. But to the AJ and Shinsuke, I like Shinsuke's little heel thing. I love the family jewels. I'm a big mark for the low blow thing because it's such a cheap shot, but it works. But
it is
one
man.
Thing that I want to add.
It's a heel move.
With that interview that he did with Renee, and he was like, "I don't speak English." Yeah, I say they stay with that. Whenever he cuts the promo now, I think he should do like an angry promo in Japanese or whatever. You know, just go at it, man. You know how like a lot of when they do the stuff with the other foreigners, they always make them say something in Arabic or you know like in It was the Royal Rumble, right? They came out and they spoke in their language. They always do that. Well, that would make him even a bigger heel, but make him go over because people like anime, people love Japanese stuff. They, you know what I mean? It's just simple stuff, man. And I think they're missing the boat with not letting him do that. I think if they did that, I think he'd get over even more. AJ is the main man. Anything AJ does, I'm happy with, bro. Honestly, even when he goes stale, I don't care because he's going to still put the best match of the night. You know what I mean?
Man, I really enjoyed that segment. I'm enjoying Shinsuke Nakamura's character now more than ever. I never gave a crap about him. And now all of a sudden I find him interesting. He's a great heel. He's doing the heel work, man. He's got my attention right now. And this feud that he's got going on with AJ, I don't want it to end, man.
But we'll make picks on the Backlash. We'll make our predictions here coming up shortly. Let's move on, man. Let's see here. Sheamus and Cesaro, or Sheamus with Cesaro versus Xavier Woods with The New Day. And, of course, this was a result of some shit-talking backstage that happened earlier in the night. But it was a lengthy match. I don't remember. I don't know exactly how long it lasted, but it was a lengthy match. We had some good moves in there by both men, some power moves from Sheamus. And, of course, man, Xavier Woods is no freaking slouch when it comes to working in the ring, man. He's pretty good. He's got that shining wizard move that he does. And I really love the guy's boots, man. He's got the best freaking boots in the business right now, I think. I thought it was an entertaining match. What's that?
The Iron Sheik boots?
Yeah, the Iron Sheik boots, man. I really dig those boots,
man.
So we had Sheamus. We had a great, great sequence of events that happened in this match. What the hell? How did it happen? It happened with some type of springboard corkscrew leg drop over Sheamus. No, but then Sheamus pulled out, and let's see. They had a deal, man, where everybody hit moves on everybody, and Cesaro was outside doing the Ric Flair strut walk. He was strutting like Ric Flair, and then freaking Woods out of nowhere, man, comes through the ropes and just knocks Cesaro right into the – it was great, man. It was very entertaining. Xavier Woods got the cheap roll-up, man, a small package on Sheamus for the win. Did you watch this match? And I think you saw highlights of this probably. It was a very lengthy match, like I said. But what were your thoughts on this?
Man, those guys
Any
always put on a clinic. Yeah,
they
yeah.
Do,
they, like I said, they put on a clinic, man. They Sheamus and Cesaro, they know what they're doing. The New Day, I never complain with those guys because every one of them has a role and they play freaking well. Like you said, Xavier, a lot of times I don't see him. You know, it's a lot of times. How can I say? I always notice when Big E and Kofi are in the match and Xavier's usually out. So when they put him in, it's always a treat because that guy can go. You know what I mean? He's like the – kind of like with the Shield. I think he was like the engineer, the architect or whatever. He's the architect of that group, you know. He really carries that group really well, even though Kofi is like the veteran. But, you know, Xavier, I believe, is – and going back to Biggie, I'm sorry not to go off. Biggie, that promo, that little backstage segment right before the match, and he gets
right.
all his chambers, and he's like, I'm not talking to you. But he's like, oh, the way he just yells. I forget what he says, but, man – that guy is freaking funny. I love Big E, man. I follow him on Instagram and stuff. He's just funny, funny guy. I love those guys. And really not much to say about the match, man. They put on a clinic. It was a good match. Good segment.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too, man. They put on a great match. Xavier Woods, man, he can go in the ring. And, of course, Sheamus, man. You know, he's no freaking slouch either. I thought it was entertaining. That sequence at the end was if you guys, you know, still have some
yeah,
down
yeah.
the check out the ending.
The one thing you mentioned, the small package. Out of all the stuff they do in the match, the big rough and tumble,
yeah.
and the small package that gets there. You know what I mean? I think I believe they've been listening to Edge and Christian's Pot of Awesomeness.
Ooh, yeah, that Paul Smackage, brother. Paul Smackage with the small package roll up.
Hey, if
you
ever listen to
you're
Edge and Christian,
absolutely right, dude. I seem to remember Edge and Christian winning like that several times back in their day.
No. Edge and Christian have a podcast, and every once in a while, Christian comes out with his little Paul Smackage character, and he has a little – the small package is the roll-up, the finish, and I believe – because I've been noticing a lot of people have been doing their small package, man, so rocket strap them straight up, baby.
So we get a quick promo backstage with Paige. And Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville pop into the scene, and they make fun that they're reporting for duty, Absolution, or whatever the hell. So it's a little back and forth there. Paige ended up saying that Absolution is dead. So my question, is Absolution dead, Batman?
Hashtag dead. Hashtag dead.
Hashtag
AF,
dead.
I like Paige as the general manager. Give her something to do because that girl, she's been wrestling a long time and she really earned her stripes. I don't care what anybody says. That girl really started the whole, I don't want to say started the revolution, but she was a big pivotal thing to it, you know, when she came out And I believe she was still NXT Women's Champion. And then the next, when she debuted on Raw, and then since AJ and became the Women's Champion, or Divas, I believe. That girl, I love that they put her on there, man. Give her something to do. I love seeing Paige. I love seeing a lot more from her from the other stuff. But well, that's a whole different conversation for a whole different.
Hey now.
But
hey now.
Yeah. But I like Mandy Rose. The whole toughen up thing with her and Paige when they used to have their little thing, and now they're like, you know, they're a good mix together. And Mandy Rose is really, she's earned her stripes too. She's really getting good at what she's doing. And Sonya Deville, I mean, what can I say? That girl's a natural, man. So.
Well, you know,
yeah.
I'm glad you
like
brought all that
backstage
up.
Thing.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to comment and you brought all that up, because I had not watched wrestling for several months before we started doing this podcast, and I missed that whole Absolution thing. I don't recall it very much. I think when I started getting back into it, they were still around maybe, or Paige had just gotten injured or something like that. But I missed the whole Absolution thing. So to me, it's really, I mean, inconsequential. But going to the chat room, let's see. Ambrose, number one fan, was surprised that Xavier won that match. And it was a little surprising. And I did enjoy the way that that he won with that roll-up. And, of course, Wu King Youth is saying that he still thinks that The Miz and Big Cass will be paired up, and I think so too. I think they'll eventually slide that over, that feud, to include The Miz, because we all know Daniel Bryan is gunning for The Miz, and that's the story from Talking Smack a few years back. And so, yeah, it's definitely going to happen, but I think it does happen with Big Cass towing the line for The Miz during that and being Miz's lackey. And, you know, I think that would be good for Miz to take Big Cass under his wing. I think it would help Big Cass groom himself a little bit more. I think it would be good for everybody involved if that happens. I think Miz is a great person to work with, because greatness rubs off, man. You surround yourself with great people and the shit rubs off, man. And so, you know, I know I would want to be hanging around with The Miz. I would be wanting to hang around with The Miz, you know. But anyway, so moving on, let's see here. Oh, man, this freaking match. Oh, dude. Well, we had a promo of Zelina Vega and Andrade Cien Almas. And so they had their same promo, I think it was, where they're getting out of the truck or what have you. I'm excited for these guys. I have not seen them, so I'm excited for them. They look like they're going to be serious when they come in. So, but we'll wait and see how that develops. But the match of the freaking night, though, that's good. You know, I thought SmackDown was good, but the match of the night, I think Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Asuka versus SmackDown Women's Champion Carmella and the Iconics. And like I said, man, those Iconics, they are really on my radar right now. There's just something about them that makes them very appealing to me. I think it's the heelish. I finally know their names, Billy Kay and let's see, what's the other one? Peyton Royce. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. So I finally know their names. That's a good thing. But, yeah, they're entertaining. Carmella is also very entertaining as champion. And we'll get to our predictions here momentarily. But first, this was a very long match, a lengthy match. I thought it was a great match. There were people online saying that it was a match of the year, even. Match of the year candidate, even. I don't think it was match of the year, but it was a great match for SmackDown. And I want to know, Batman, did you check out this match?
Yes, and honestly, I think I believe we spoke about this earlier in the podcast. It brings up the whole point of, man, look, again, those girls can go. Dude, imagine if they did bring a tag team belt. Man, look, okay, tag team matches, obviously, that wasn't for the tag team belt or anything, but that was an awesome match. But imagine if
it was killer
on the line. It adds that extra specialness to it, you know what I mean? Austin, Charlotte, God, imagine what kind of team champs they would be. Like, this just proves that these girls can freaking go. And, I mean, they need, like I said, they need a different chance for them. This new title.
And these Iconics, man, I mean, they're new to me. And I have to say, I want to say that just a couple of weeks ago, I didn't find them entertaining. I thought they were just, you know, annoying people. But now their characters are standing out to me, you know, now that I'm familiar with them. I'm starting to like them, man. They're really annoying. They're just annoying. And in a good way, though. A good annoying, a heelish annoying. I know I keep saying that, but, I mean, you know, I don't want to call them names. I don't want to call them bad names, but that's what their goal is, to be that person. And I think they're doing a great job. The match itself, though, I thought there was a lot of good work in there from both from all the parties involved. I didn't really notice any botches. I know a lot of people say that the women's matches are full of botches or what have you. I mean, I guess that would be true if you're looking for it. And, you know, it could be true if you're looking for it and shit and that's all you're looking for. But me, I was looking to be entertained, and I was thoroughly, thoroughly entertained by this match. I thought it was a fantastic match that ended, of course, with Royce tapping out, no less. We're going to see how it goes on, because we're going to have Carmella against Charlotte this weekend. And then Charlotte put a good beating to Carmella there at the end, where Carmella was sitting on the stage, and man, she looked like she had just been been worked over really, really hard, man. She had that look on her face like she had just been worked over in the bed really, really hard. But I digress. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thought it was a great mm-hmm. match. My rating for SmackDown this week, I thought it was a really good show, really, really good show. I'm going to give it an 8. That's a solid rating, man. That's like the highest rating I've given here in a while. Batman, I would like to get your rating for SmackDown Live.
I'd give it an 8, too. It was good. SmackDown usually delivers, man. SmackDown is
from what I can remember, has always been the workhorse show, you know what I mean? All those guys, just like back then with the era with Eddie and Kurt Angle and Edge, Matt, and all those other guys. This is the workhorse show, and they always put on a good show, man. So, yeah, I give it an 8. Still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, man. It was a great show, okay. And Ambrose, number one fan, is giving SmackDown a 9, SmackDown Live with a 9. And Yalissa didn't get to watch all of SmackDown and got distracted because of Robot Z drama. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure she was distracted. And it took her from SmackDown, so F all that. But anyway, I thought it was a really good show, really good show. And I'm stalling for time here because I'm not set up with the card that I need. But I will tell you what, it's a good time right now to, well, shit, man, we'll go ahead and take a break, I guess. We will be right back. Let's see, do I have break music here? Oh, yeah, I wanted to play this one more time because I played this last week or a couple of weeks ago, and I want to play it again. It's a track by the Bow Wowzer. The Bow Wowzer, a good friend of mine who is no longer with us, but this is the Bow Wowzer with his thoughts on Rachel Ray. Check it out.
I was walking down the street, and what do I see? The woman of my dreams staring back at me from a billboard. 30-minute meals. Big old ass and some itty-bitty titties. Wanna bump and grind and fuck that nitty-gritty. Give new meaning to Sex in the City. Wanna fuck Rachel Ray. Every day I see her on the TV screen, cooking up some food I be thinking quite obscene. Bend that fat ass over that oven. Come on, Rachel, get ready for my loving. I wanna fuck me Rachel Ray. I think about her every day. See, I told you that I wasn't gay. I wanna fuck Rachel Ray. Big old ass and some itty bitty titties. Let's have sex and sing a little ditty. Chop those onions and make that bread. Fuck me till I'm dead. I wanna fuck me Rachel Ray. I think about her every day. Fuck that bitch in every way. I wanna fuck Rachel Ray. Toss my salad, let me stir your soup. I got a big ladle and it's wooden too. Eat refrigerate your taco and I'll drink your juice just like I did to Aunt Jemima. Already fucked Aunt Jemima. Wanna fuck Rachel Ray. Wanna fuck Rachel Ray. Wanna suck Rachel Ray.
Hello? Oh, yeah. Man, this whole freaking time I've been talking and I was on mute. Shut up, fucking kidding. Still doing that to this very day. But welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. That was, of course, little Bow Wowzer. The Bow Wowzer. The Doogie Howser, who is no longer with us. But, yeah. The Bow Wowzer, he's got a Rachel Ray fetish. So moving on to the backlash predictions, we're going to make this fast here. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sammy freaking Batman. What are your thoughts on this? Who's going to win this match? Tag team match.
What match again, you said?
It's Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami freaking Zayn.
I'm going with Braun and Bobby.
You're going with Braun and Bobby. Is that what you said,
yeah,
Braun and Bobby?
Yeah, because I'm kind of tired of Kevin and Zayn, honestly. I don't want to sound... I love those guys, too, but I'm kind of tired of shit. I sound so bland and so good, but... There's really not much I can say about those guys anymore, man. I really love that too, but it's kind of like they've just gone, man. So yeah, I'll go for Braun. I really love Braun.
I am going different on this one, so jot this down if you're playing along at home. I am thinking Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn win this, and Bobby Lashley is the one who eats the pin on this. I can't see Braun Strowman taking a pin, so I think Bobby Lashley will eat the pin. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn go on, and they stay strong, man. They're pretty strong right now. They're a strong tag team right now, and I think they go on and chase the gold here coming up. So put me down for KO and Sami freaking Zayn on that one. Next up, we have a singles match. Daniel Bryan versus Big Freaking Cass. Daniel Bryan versus Cass. And in the chat room, Ambrose number one fan says Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman win. That's that. Daniel Bryan and Big Cass, Batman. Who wins?
I'm going for Daniel Bryan, man. I love Daniel. I don't mind when he loses, but not to Big Cass. Honestly, I want Daniel, but I'm feeling like Cass is either one of two things. Cass is going to cheat to win, or Shinsuke or somebody's going to get in and have an edge. Or, you know, somebody's going to interfere. I don't think it's going to be a clean win, or maybe not even a win or anything at all. Maybe it'll be like a disqualification. You know what I mean? So,
right.
I really don't like the feud. I'm kind of, like I said, I really, they fall short with the Daniel Bryan thing. I feel like it could have been some other people. But it could be like what I said earlier, too. They put too much out in the beginning. You have nothing to work with later on. So, maybe the Big Cass thing is something that's like a safe. Because he's not, I don't think he hurts himself more than he hurts other people. So, I think Daniel Bryan's pretty cool. I guess, I don't really know. I'm kind of iffy on this thing. But Daniel Bryan, I go with Daniel Bryan.
Well, Batman, it's a tough pick, man. It's a tough pick. But I am going to go with Big Cass on this, man. And here's my logic. There's no way that this can end right now. I mean, if it does end, it's going to be with a Daniel Bryan win, victory clean in the middle of the ring, and that's that. But I don't think this ends. And I think also, I mean, it could also be a DQ, you know. It could be a disqualification due to The Miz And I do think that The Miz is going to come out and make an appearance in this match, especially depending on where it falls in the card. But I do think The Miz would come out in this match and possibly cost Daniel Bryan the victory. And so I think Big Cass wins this with The Miz involved in this match. So I am jotting this down, and we'll see if the Swami, MOS the Swami, has this all figured out. You know, in my head, I have it all figured out. But, you know, then the shit happened for real, and it's not going to – it just doesn't work out. It never freaking works out, man. But we'll go with Big Cass anyway. So let's see. Next up, we have another singles match. Oh, man. This is talk about another hard one to pick, dude. Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe. Batman, who wins this match?
Oh, yeah, hard one to pick because those guys, what I was saying earlier, they're gritty, gritty brawlers, man. They're gritty guys. And that's another example where I'd like Russo to go, like the grittiness, like Samoa. Samoa is not shaped like a, you know, typical wrestler. That guy, you could say borderline, we'll just say fat. But he's not fat. That guy can freaking go because he's gritty. You know, he works with what he's got. Same thing with
gritty.
But, he's gritty. So is Roman, man. Those are two big dogs.
Gritty.
In the yard, man. It's going to be a fight. And I have no clue where. Because this could go either way. Roman could go over. Samoa could go over. Or it could just go over where neither one of them even complete the match. Or there's no finish and they just keep going. You know what I mean? And the ref has got to ring the bell to stop the match kind of thing. So I'm kind of hoping it goes to that. So, you know, it can keep going on. If they're going to do something with Samoa, I guess keep him with Roman and screw a finish. Let him just brawl out, man, and just let him go and let him ring the bell. I kind of like those things sometimes because the way it works at the end, you know, it kind of leaves you hanging like, nobody won. So.
If I'm not mistaken, man, I think I picked Roman Reigns to win this. And I think it's a tough freaking match to pick, man. But
I want to say Samoa only because he's been on not a losing streak, but Samoa's been kind of like a stale thing. So I guess if there is going to be a win, I'll say Samoa. So I want Samoa.
I would really like to see that no finish that you were talking about. I think that would probably be best for everybody involved is a no finish DQ, some type of shit like that.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick, which I do, because that's what we're doing right now, I'm going to say Samoa Joe wins. Fuck it. If I didn't say Samoa Joe earlier in the week on the other shows that I do, I'm saying it now. Samoa Joe for the win. I've actually wrote it down, and there's no changing it now. Samoa Joe for the freaking win. Damn it. What's that going to do to Roman? It's going to have to be some type of no finish, man. It's going to have to be the no finish. Moving on, we have a singles match for the WWE Women's SmackDown Women's Championship, Carmella versus Charlotte Flair. Batman, what is your thoughts on this? Who wins this match? Who walks out with the strap? And is it going to be a win? Or what happens?
Carmella, I believe, is going to walk out with the strap. I don't think they're going to give it to her and have her do all the stuff that she's been doing right now and then just to take it off of her. You know what I mean? I think she's gonna stay with it for a while. She's gonna be one of those, or she runs to, you know, take the win, try to cheat, or you know, figure out a dirty way, or whatever, like a mischievous way. Because that's how I see the Carmella character. Like, she's real upfront in your face, kind of speaking wise, but she's also like she'll run away, kind of. You know, like Eddie Guerrero used to do, where he'd get on his knees and be like, no, pray, and then do a little sneaky thing. I think that's how she's gonna win. Right now,
she plays a great chicken shit heel, man. I like Carmella.
Yeah, yeah,
what she's
yeah.
doing with it. She plays a great chicken shit heel. I am going with Carmella on this. I see this match ending in some type of shit where the Iconics come out and make an appearance and help out Carmella with her victory against Charlotte Flair. Let's go to the chat room and let's see what they're saying in there. Let's see here. Yalissa says that the Backlash card is too weak. A lot of people aren't in it. And, you know, I would have to say there aren't a lot of people. It seems like it's more of a SmackDown pay-per-view for some reason with Raw superstars peppered in. It really does with Raw superstars peppered in
You know, there's no Finn Balor on the card. There's quite a few people that are not on the card. So let's see here. Ambrose, number one fan pick, Roman Reigns to win the match. And let's see here. Ambrose, number one fan, also picked Daniel Bryan to win, and so did Melissa. So there you have that. Let's see. But, yeah, no Finn Balor on that card. And, you know, they really need to do something with Finn Balor.
Can I ask you a question? These people online, they can answer right now, right, live? Because I have a question. Cool.
The fans, you're out there, brother. No, I wanted to say this whole pay-per-view where they're both going together again, I'm not a fan of it. I kind of liked it when it was just like a certain, you know, side. Like, some were for SmackDown, some were for Raw, because I think, how you just mentioned earlier, it feels like a SmackDown pay-per-view, a little bit of Raw here peppered in. You know, if that's what you're going to do every other pay-per-view, then why don't you just make it the main focus on that brand? You know what I mean? Like how they've been, like how they had it for the past year or so. Because not only, one thing with that is when they get together, now you're not going to have enough room for everybody to get a highlight cut. You get what I mean? Raw or SmackDown. When they have them just focus on that one certain brand, and well, hey, now you got enough to where you can put enough SmackDown. Okay, with Raw, you can put enough Raw people on there. And it gives enough people, and it gives a chance for more people to, you know, get more exposure and not have to overwork.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like
here's
the pay-per-view where you don't get Finn, you don't get these guys, you don't get this other guy, you don't get this other guy. Well, then why do that to begin with? You're going to try to build momentum for these people, you know, on the side stories and not give them a chance to keep going with it. Like, what are you going to do next pay-per-view? You know what I mean? It, to me, sometimes those pay-per-views feel a little stale. I like the whole focus on the main brand thing. Because, like I said, it's
right. You know, I think they have a golden opportunity to be really creative here, man, with this dual-branded pay-per-views and shit. I mean, like, for example,
I mean, they do, but,
you know. Go ahead.
I mean, they do have a chance. I mean, they got something to work here because they've done it before, but they've done both. They've done where it's been mixed, and then, like I said, the past year or so, I believe they've been doing where it's main focus or, you know, brand focused pay-per-views. And honestly, I like those better than the mixture because, like I said, you can only get a certain amount of stars from each brand. And then what's going to happen to the other ones? Yeah, maybe give them some rest time, but I'd rather have a brand focused pay-per-view because that's more SmackDown, that's more Raw. You know, so
right.
And that's my opinion. I like to see if I'm going to see a SmackDown. If I'm going to see pay-per-view, I like the whole SmackDown. I like to see all those guys and keep that story. And then the next one, you know, just give them a chance to build the story. I don't know. I just feel like sometimes it's a little – like this one feels like I believe the person earlier on the chat room was saying about this. It felt like a SmackDown. It feels a little stale, you know. But I think for that reason –
back to the chat room. Let's see. We have Ambrose, number one fan, saying Carmella wins. Whereas Alyssa is saying that the match is going
to
suck. But
yeah, that was my question. I wanted to see what the chat room people thought. What was their take on this? The pay per view thing. Do they like dual brand or they like brand focused pay per view? That's what I want to know.
There you go. There's a question from Batman for the chat room. Do you guys like dual branded pay per views, or would you prefer for them to stay single branded? Is what Batman says. So moving on, we'll get to that answer from the chat room here momentarily. But moving on, also, Ambrose, number one fan, said that this is a rematch pay-per-view. I wanted to point that out as well. It does seem like a rematch pay-per-view. But moving on, let's see here. Back to the card, we have did we make picks? I said Carmella wins. Who did you pick on that one? You said Carmella, right?
Yeah. I don't think that she's going to take
Carmella. And I said Carmella wins. Okay. And let's see here. Moving on, Nia Jax, champion, versus Alexa Bliss in a singles match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Batman, what is your pick on this match?
I'm going for Nia, and I like it, man. I like the besties, frenemies kind of thing that's going on. I love Alexa. That girl, oof, the best thing that's ever come out of Columbus, Ohio. Baby. I can't say enough about that girl. But, Yeah, see, I'm already at loss of words. I didn't even know what I was gonna say now. No, I,
yeah.
I, man, that little
Alexa
thing that they did with Ronda
that.
Rousey with her running running around the ring with Ronda Chaser, man, that stuff is freaking funny. The moment of bliss kind of thing. I love that stuff. But yeah, I like what they're doing with the Nia and then the Alexa. And I actually like Nia as a champ.
Yeah, you know, she's, I don't have a problem with Nia Jax being the champion. Alexa Bliss at this point really does
not need
a title.
She's not like most girls, and the girls that aren't like most girls that are like Nia Jax, to say that, it gives them something to look forward to. You know, it gives a taste, a different taste.
Man, that's a great point.
So I like that.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I am also calling Nia Jax to win this match. Let's see if we've got any takers in the chat on this. Let's see here, just to go along with it. Ambrose is saying that she thinks Finn might interfere with Seth Rollins after the match, or attack Seth after the match. So let's see. She's also not a fan of Moment of Bliss and is calling Nia Jax for the win. But I am also calling Nia Jax on that. Moving on, let's see here. We have, man, Randy Orton versus champion Jeff Hardy in a singles match for the United States Championship. This is probably the match that I am not looking the least favorite match for me. Here's two old guys. You know, they should have a newer cat in the mix for that belt instead of, you know, these two veterans. I mean, unless if they're trying to make that belt meaningful, you know, and give Jeff Hardy a substantial run with it, the way they've done with The Miz and the Intercontinental title. I mean, this match, man, it just seems like it could go either way. I'm still calling Jeff Hardy to win, though. I think it would be pointless for them to take off the title from him. So I got to go Jeff Hardy on this. Batman, who are you calling on this?
Look, I'm going to go for Jeff because I love Jeff. I love Randy the same, but I grew up on Jeff, so I'm always going to have a little thing for the guy. But I feel like this is both, like you said, it's kind of stale. Like, it's just two older guys, and nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, it could have been something where you – it's exactly what I'm saying before about the brand thing. Like, you could have given another spot to a younger guy or someone who needs the rub. These guys, neither one of them need the rub. Honestly, I feel like this championship run for Jeff is kind of like it was just put on him to be put on him. Like, they don't know what to do. You know, maybe they didn't like the champion who was before, and they just put the belt on the guy, and that's it. So it feels like it's kind of like a holdover. Like a, I don't know how to explain it. Like, they just put it on the guy so they figure out what else to do for that belt. You know what I mean? To see where they go. What direction they're like, oh, well, you know what? I don't really like
man.
Holding it now. Who can we put it on? Let's put it on Jeff. People like him. We can give that belt a little bit of prestige because that guy's like a rock star, so you know it's an important belt, but let's just put it on him for now so it doesn't lose any credibility until we figure out what to do later, you know? So.
Yeah, this is my least favorite match on the card, obviously. So that's all I got to say about that. So we're both in agreement then that Jeff Hardy wins this match. Let's see. The match, man, these next two matches, man. Seth Rollins, champion, versus The Miz in a singles match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. And before I reveal my thoughts, Batman, I would like to get yours first. Who wins this match?
I'm saying Seth, but I really like The Miz's Intercontinental, man. That guy's, I used to hate him. That really has won me over the past couple of years. He's the other John Cena, man. That guy works, never stops. So I really, that prestige on that belt, it was prestige on that belt. You know what I mean? So Seth, I guess Seth can hold it for now. We'll just say that. So my boy The Miz gets it later. that's really all
I
can say. I guess from the comment from the online chat earlier, man, it just feels stale. I feel like this, it is a rematch pay-per-view, but it still feels like it's just been pushed together, you know, like they kind of don't know what to do. And I think out of all the podcasts, at least that I've been on, we usually have like a more enthusiastic kind of prediction here. I feel like every prediction we've come up with has been like a force. Like, eh, just because I got to answer it, you know? And I feel like that's how the pay-per-view is put together. Like, eh, we just got to figure out what to do until we can figure out what to do. You know what I mean?
Back to the chat room. Ulysses says Jeff Hardy wins, and currently Ambrose, number one fan, is saying Seth Rollins is going to win the match against The Miz. And also Ulysses saying Seth Rollins is going to win the match. And let me tell you something, man. I caught something very interesting. If I can get back to my notes here. Man, this multitasking just shit, man. I caught something very interesting in the promo that Miz was cutting, where he said, and you know, man, I have to tell you, I got to tell you guys, I would really, really love to see some shit where the Miz wins the freaking belt. The Miz wins the belt. We talked about this on another program that I work on. The Miz wins the belt, takes it from Raw, no less, on to SmackDown, where also is Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton for the U.S. champion. So both of those championships would be on Raw. This is where they have an opportunity to do great things, man. Put the freaking title on on somebody from SmackDown. Where's the rule that says that there has, just because there's one title on SmackDown, the other one has to be on freaking Raw? Where's the freaking rule? There's no freaking rule that says that. They can do whatever the hell they want. I say make it freaking interesting. Make it to where Raw is like all of a sudden they're defeated, man. They're defeated. They got Roman Reigns losing to freaking Joe. They've got their champion never shows up. You know, I would love to see The Miz win and go on and make that title, keep making that title great, break the record that he's supposed to be breaking or what have you. I would love to see that. But I don't think it's going to happen, man.
You know what? You bring a little point with that. That actually would be a cool little run or story during, like, Survivor Series, because that's when, you know, they go against each brand versus brand. That would be, like, a cool little run to get, like, see right before, maybe a pay-per-view before, like, oh, whoa, what do we do? This guy ran from one brand to the other. Now we're missing this title belt, and they got this one. Well, maybe we should get somebody to go over there to steal it back and blah, blah, and then at least Survivor Series, and they do, like, a brand versus brand, changing this, you know, this
I
and
think
that.
They have an opportunity to get creative, Batman. They have a huge opportunity to get creative.
I don't think Vince is listening, though. I don't think Vince is listening, damn it.
No, man, he's not listening. But damn it, Vince, he should fucking listen, man. So you got Jeff Hardy. I mean, I'm sorry. You've got Seth Rollins on this, and I've got Seth Rollins. And in the chat room, the battery's low here. The battery is running very low. So I don't know how much I can keep up with the chat room. But, Seth Rollins wins as well. Here's what Seth Rollins said, getting back. I'm sorry, not Seth Rollins. This is what The Miz said. He said that Sunday the fans will see an A-freaking-lister as champion, okay? And, you know, he's the A-lister. He inserted freaking, which Seth is Seth freaking Rollins. He inserted freaking in there. I think that when he was selling this pay-per-view to us Tuesday night and was addressing Seth Rollins over on the B show, as he said, that we're going to see an A-freaking-lister as champion at Backlash. And I think he gave it away right there Seth freaking Rollins is going to win. And, I mean, you know, he was selling that pay-per-view, man. He did a great job selling it, and I can't wait to watch this match. I'm torn, you know, I don't know which one of these is going to be my favorite match between Seth Rollins and The Miz or AJ against Nakamura. Both of those matches are going to be great, and I can't wait for them. But I've got to go with Seth Rollins on this, even though I would love to see The Miz win, just because it's a man crush, I guess. I don't know what the hell it is. It's just freaking a bromance. Not even a bromance, because I'm not bros with them. But but yeah, man, The
you
Miz
wish
is freaking
you
awesome.
You wish you were.
I do wish I was his bro. I'd love to drink a beer with him. But The Miz is gonna lose this match, I think, and Seth Rollins will go on and be the champion and probably get into a program with Finn Balor. Hopefully that does happen, where Finn Balor comes out as a heel and put the beating on Rollins at the end. I would love to see that, man, because those two guys can freaking go. And I'm looking for a feud between these two guys. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. I can hardly wait for that shit to happen. But moving on, we've got AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a no DQ match, Batman. No DQ for the WWE Championship. So my question to you is, who wins this match, Batman? Tell us, who wins this match?
AJ. I think they're going to build up for Nakamura. I don't think if they didn't give Nakamura the championship in WrestleMania, they're not going to give it to him right away. I don't feel like this pay-per-view would be a good place to give it to him. Maybe build it all the way to SummerSlam, you know? And then SummerSlam, and then build that way all the way to WrestleMania, and they can have a part two. Because, look, going back on their match, I heard, you know, I saw complaints too online and stuff where, oh, this didn't catch, you know, it didn't build up to the hype and blah, blah, blah. Hey, that's great, man, because it just gives you an opportunity to really blow it out the park next time. They leave you wanting more. You know what I mean? So,
right.
And honestly, hindsight for 2020, like with the Avengers Infinity War, that ending was sad. And that's how the WrestleMania was. Like, I was excited, and then at the end I was like, eh. You know, so I don't think Shinsuke should get the belt so soon. Keep building that heel thing. Maybe if they add that, like I said, the whole language thing where he just does promos in Japanese or yells, you know, stuff during the match. Build it to SummerSlam. Let him take the belt in SummerSlam and then build it all the way to WrestleMania again. That's what I would
like. Well, man, so you're going AJ Styles.
They can build a whole series for a year. They can get a whole year run out of this. If they did that with John Cena and The Rock without even touching, they can do it with AJ. And
they can. I mean, they can do things, but normally they let us down, and and they don't do what we want them to do. But damn it, if only they would listen to us, Batman. If only they would fucking listen to us, man. This match is very hard for me to pick, man. I think I've teeter-tottered on this back and forth. I think my last pick was Shinsuke because, you know, I don't want this feud to end, man. To me, it's just now getting good. And, you know, my heart wants me to go with Shinsuke Nakamura because, you know, he's really interesting to me right now. And, I'd really like to see this feud continue, man. I would like to see him win so that this feud could continue, but I just don't see them getting that creative on us. And by they, I'm talking about WWE, creative no less. I just don't see them getting that creative on us and letting the feud go, inserting Samoa Joe into the feud. Man, it would be freaking gold. Gold, I'm telling you. But I don't think they go for that, man. AJ Styles, and they put it very clear to me in the chat yesterday. I was hanging out in the chat yesterday at Bud's Back Room. You can type that into your Google search and go check it out. Sometimes I hang there, and there's a lot of people in there that post a lot of tidbits in there and shit about wrestling that you more than likely never knew. I mean, today I found out that the reason Terry Taylor has a Bobby Roode has a robe is because Terry Taylor gave him one of his freaking robes to use or some type of shit like that. I mean, the amount of information you can get from there is insane. But nevertheless, it's good people as well. So go visit Bud's Back Room. But this match with AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, it has me, like I said, I don't want this feud to end. But I'm going to have to go with AJ Styles on this. And I think I'm changing my call from what I said the other day. But I'm going to jot it down now, and so it's official because I jotted it down. Damn it. Now, the key is, am I going to find this next week when we're on the air, seeing how we did? Hopefully these predictions will get lost somewhere in the shuffle. But we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, man, Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, I think it's going to be a great match. Those last two matches that we discussed, I think they're going to be fantastic. By the way, my battery ran out for the chat room, so we are I can't read what you guys are saying right now. But anyway, I think it's going to be great, man. I think it's going to be a good pay-per-view. I'm looking forward to it. I might even throw on some freaking meat on the grill and shit, man, and see what goes on. I'm thinking about it, man. It seems like when I do that, though, the drinks get heavy, man. They start pouring down real fast, man. And then the next day, I feel like shit, dude. For two freaking days, I feel like shit, man. I gotta stop doing this. I gotta freaking stop doing it. Batman.
I'm just listening to you, man.
Still with me, brother. Yeah,
I'm here.
Ranting and raving, man. Hey, listen to me, man. We gotta call it quits now. We gotta call it quits now. We got 5 minutes left, Batman. 5 minutes left, so I'm going to start out by thanking a few people. First of all, you can follow us at World Generation Podcast on Facebook and also World Gen Podcast on Twitter. Check that out. I'd like to thank Bud's Back Room and Yalissa, Ice, also Emma, The Burying God, Liger, Jermaine, AJF, FMM, Eric Viveras, Mumra, Twist of Kane, Wu King, Miss Money in the Bank. By the way, Miss Money in the Bank was who pointed out to me that AJ Styles wins because Joe is coming. So I guess, man, Joe is coming, dude. Joe is freaking coming. And he means business, man. He means business. So, yeah, let's see. Uncle Wes and so many more, the people of Bud's Back Room. It was a little tongue-tied there. And, of course, you could follow me on Twitter at MOS Resident Heel. And Batman, what about you, man? Where can we follow you? What can we do with you, man?
I'd like to say, first off, and the click to claim West Side when we ride and we quit the game. He claimed to be a player, but that's the wife. He busts on Bad Boys. Busts the life. I like to, you can follow me at Batman_EST1987 on Instagram and Twitter, I believe, and Snapchat, Facebook, and maybe Twitter too. It's Pastor Pies, PastorPaiz. Again, at Facebook, Twitter, and Snap. Really not much to say after that, man. I'm looking forward to the pay-per-view. Maybe put some meat on the grill. Probably maybe even watch it with you, man, and see.
Hey, man.
We can do one of these a live watch-along. You know what I mean? We can do
watch-along. I'm trying to set up something right now a location for some shit like that. It's in the works, so we'll see how it pans out. But, yeah, man, thanks for being on with us today, Batman. I certainly appreciate your commentary. And it's always a pleasure having you.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. No, it's my pleasure, man. I mark out every time I call. I get nervous. I'm usually – maybe I do talk a lot, but not as much as I usually do because I get nervous doing this. But, I love doing this. I love talking about wrestling. I talk about it all the time. And I enjoy talking with the fans out there, brother, and with you, man. I enjoy this time, man. I look forward to this moment every single week. So looking forward to more podcasts with you, brother.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Batman. So we do have to cut out now, and Joe Bates says hello. He could not be here this week, but he does say hello. Also, you can check out Joe Bates on the 13th of May. That's on a Sunday here in Houston. He's stopping by, and go check him out. I plan on being there as well. So Joe Bates, comedy here in Houston. So thank you very much for listening to us. I am Minister of Sinister, and remember, keep it real, keep it heel, and keep it sexy. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.